Hey everybody, welcome to the PDX Beat Podcast, the culture show that keeps a finger on the pulse of all things Portland. I'm your host, Amado Lumba, and for this episode, I'm excited to share with you a chat that I had with Sean Barron, a fellow Portland-based podcaster, regarding his own Portland-centric podcast, aptly named the Portland Cool Podcast. That's a lot of Portland in that last sentence. Anyway, you'll learn about how his podcast came to be and the other cool stuff he's involved in. Now, without further ado, on with the show. So you're a native Portlander, correct?
I consider myself one. I was actually born in Tucson, Arizona, and then my family moved here when I was like, three or four, and I've lived here ever since. So I've always identified myself as Oregonian. I grew up in both Beaverton and Portland.
All right. Yeah, I think that qualifies.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Oh, no, and actually there's a thought out there that if you've been here, at least if you've been in Portland, if you've been in Oregon for 7+ years, you're considered a native Oregonian. You're
grandfathered in.
Yeah, you're like a pseudo-native. And so Tucson, Arizona, have you gone back at all? Do you still have a lot of family there?
I've never been back. Not once. I have no family there.
No family there, so no reason to go there, except for maybe, I don't know, curiosity?
I'd like to go see the Ducks play the Arizona Wildcats there someday.
Okay. And, of course, you'll be cheering for the Ducks.
Absolutely.
So, no loyalty to Arizona whatsoever.
Zero. None whatsoever.
Nice.
I'm all Oregonian.
Right on. So, when did you start the Portland Cool Podcast?
Let's see. It was February. Well, I was kind of like dreaming it up and scheming it and brainstorming it for maybe a few months, like November, December, January of 2013, yeah. Sorry, 2014, 2015, and then finally like got all of the equipment I needed and then got my first interview like in February, early February. It was the day of the Super Bowl when New England was playing Seattle. I recorded my first episode that day.
You didn't care about the Super Bowl?
I watched it. I did like the interview during halftime and watched the rest of it kind of. I was so excited, actually. I was like, I'm really doing this. I'm like recording this. My dream is kind of, or my vision is taking flight here, and it's actually becoming a reality. And I was so excited and fixated on that, I kind of didn't even think about the game at that point.
You got so focused on making it happen, didn't care about the major sporting event that was happening in the background.
Yeah, exactly. And I love football.
You call your podcast the Portland Cool Podcast.
Yeah.
What's in a name?
Shakespeare asks, what's in a name? And I think there's a lot there. It makes me think... when I hear this, it's kind of just intriguing. Like, what's that all about? What does that even mean, Portland Cool Podcast? So I hope that when someone comes across that name, they're just kind of guessing what that's all about and interested to see what goes on with this podcast. And then as far as creating it, I was trying to figure out a name. I was just, like, writing down ideas, spitballing in my bedroom, scratching down things on a notepad, and... had a lot of different ideas and nothing was really that interesting or original. It all sounded a bit too contrived or, I don't know, just kind of boring. And then I was thinking about getting a domain name and something that would be short and sweet and stick in someone's mind. And I think, I just kind of picked off my scratch pad, like Portland Cool. I was like, that's interesting. Sticking with me. And, I just kind of ran with it. In fact, my first 10 episodes of the podcast, I said, that's my working title. That's what I'm kind of going with now for this first 10 sort of pilot episodes. I'm not sure it'll stick. If you listen to those first 10 episodes, you'll hear me say that. And then eventually I just kind of loved it, and I thought there's no turning back now.
What made you think that it was not something that would stick?
I suppose... it's a bit ambiguous as to what it means, really. So, but then, so as far as being concerned of what make it what might make it not stick was that nebulousness, that vagueness to the title. What is really going on with this podcast? Why do I want to listen to it if I come across it? But then at the same time, I thought maybe that's sort of a valuable thing to it. Maybe, like I said, it's intriguing to people.
It works on several levels, I think. You know, when you look at the title, Portland Cool Podcast, you're either maybe saying something that that describes Portland. Portland is cool. So this is the podcast that talks about how Portland is cool. But you could also be talking about your podcast itself. Hey, this is about Portland, but it's also a cool podcast. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. I do. I like to think of it nowadays as like the Portland cool. Like these people who I'm interviewing are make up this special group of the Portland cool.
All right.
The Portland cool people.
Let's talk about that. How do you select the guests that you do want to feature on your show?
Yeah, I've been asked that before. It's just sort of thinking of what is a good reflection of Portland, Oregon. You know, Portland's known for being weird, for being interesting, and of course it's more than weird. And finding these people or thinking of them is just kind of a matter of understanding what Portland values, what Portland likes, and how Portland want to be reflected. And so I kind of get some ideas in my mind, and then I sort of search around Facebook or search around maybe the Willamette Week or the Mercury or just kind of things I've always had in my mind of what's a good reflection of Portland. In fact, if I may, I'm really excited to be doing an interview this Saturday with Free Throw Guy. And
from the Blazers.
From the Blazers. An icon of Portland, a really important part of Blazer culture. And I think he's a fantastic representation of Portland. And I'm thrilled to be interviewing him this Saturday. I can't wait to hear his story. And so as far as selecting him, I just kind of always thought, like, this is a cool person in Portland who's doing his own thing. He's being alternative. He's not mainstream. He's just doing this wacky thing, and people love it. I love it.
What are some of the keywords that kind of pop into your head specifically that for you define Portland?
That's tough. I think about sort of maybe the season we're in, first of all. Like this winter time, I'd like to find a snowboarder or a skier, someone who's really familiar with Mount Hood, and that's a big part of our culture here. Or when the legalization of marijuana occurred, and that was a big story. It was important to me to interview some guys who know that scene well and can speak to the details of the legalization and what that will imply and how that will impact people going forward. So I guess it's just kind of keeping on the pulse of Portland, which you would know about, just thinking of what's going on, what's current, and what's important to the people at this time.
So your tagline is more than weird.
It's more than weird, man.
Why did you choose to use that tagline?
Well, we all know our mission as Portlanders is to keep Portland weird. And I thought I should really leverage this for the Portland Cool podcast. This is such a strong theme from Portland. Everyone's on board with it. Everyone kind of embraces this message here. How can I leverage this, but how can I make it kind of my own thing or my own take on it? So I thought, like, first I had the idea of saying, get weird with us. And I thought, well, maybe some people aren't completely into that. Maybe they don't want to get entirely weird. Maybe they'd like to kind of tone it back. But then I thought, Portland's weird, and that's great, that's neat, but it's also more than that. And no one can really deny that, is what I thought. Like a mathematical equation, you just can't be proven wrong. It is more than weird, and that's that. No one can deny that.
What makes a good guest for you?
You know, someone who's really passionate about what they do is the first thing. When someone's passionate about what they do, they really light up when they're speaking. You just see it in their face and in their expression. They can talk on and on about what it is they're passionate about. They have no hesitation in telling you the interesting points of it and the subtleties of it and what's important to them about it and what someone else might not understand. So I think about that when I'm looking for someone and when I think about who's a good interview. And I've told a couple people about that when I've said, you know, we want to talk for about 40 to 45 minutes in this interview. We're really having a detailed conversation. They say, oh, I don't know, that's a long time for me to just be talking. And then it never is an issue, because I say to them, if you're really passionate about what you're doing, it will be no challenge at all. You will just talk on and on about it.
Yeah, I recall when I was on your show, I actually said that I was a little nervous about actually coming up with stuff that if I would have anything to talk about 45 minutes, but I think it was a fairly long show.
Yeah.
You asked me this when I came on your show, so I'm going to flip the tables and ask you this question now. But
flip the script.
Yeah. Who is your dream guest here in Portland?
Yeah, I've got a few. I would love to interview Brian Wheeler, the radio commentator for the Portland Trailblazers. He is a huge inspiration of mine, and I dream of one day having a job like that, being a sports commentator. To commentate for the Trailblazers would be a dream come true. That's kind of my pinnacle. It couldn't really get any better than that. And yeah, I'd like to hear his story, how he got to where he is, and you know, how does he continue to do such a great job of it year after year.
Like our page on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thepdxbeat. Follow us on Twitter at thepdxbeat. Email us at thepdxbeat@gmail.com. And check out our website at www.thepdxbeat.com.
What was your first podcast, if you can remember listening to?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Adam Carolla. I've been a fan of him forever, since he was doing Loveline, and then, of course, followed his career on to The Man Show. And then he got onto radio when he replaced Howard Stern. Howard Stern got the big Sirius radio gig.
Oh, yeah.
And was making the crazy money, and so then Carolla came on to replace him, and I was listening to him in the mornings, and then eventually he got fired. The station let him go. So then he got into podcasting, and then not a lot of people know this about him, but he is in fact the Guinness World Record holder for most downloaded podcast of all time. He's kind of the king of podcasting, you could say, and he gives a lot of insight on his show on the mechanics of podcasting, how it works, you know, why do it. And listening to that as often as I was, I said, well, I think I'd like to try podcasting. It sounds pretty interesting. So he was definitely is a big inspiration, influence on me.
So apart from Adam Carolla, were there any other podcast influences for you?
There wasn't really, to be honest. Maybe Dr. Drew, you know, his old Loveline partner, and they still do another podcast where it's basically, it's kind of like Loveline. They field questions and answer them. So the two of them together are, you know, they're heroes of mine, and I listen to both of them. And other than that, as far as other podcasts, you know, people are telling me, like, every day, you've got to listen to this podcast, you've got to listen to that one. And there's a lot of them out there, and they sound really cool, but I just, to be honest, haven't listen to as many, besides yours, of course.
Oh, thank you.
The PDXB.
Well, frankly, there's not enough time in the day to listen to all these podcasts, right? So you have to be very selective. So apart from Adam Carolla's show, your show, and my show, would you recommend any other? I know you just said, hey, that you don't like it when people actually tell you, hey, you know, you should listen to this podcast. But what are any other podcasts that you would recommend to people?
Gosh. I hear the Serial one's really cool. Some friends of mine have mentioned The Moth is neat. I gave that one a try, actually. It was kind of hard to get into. Although I could see the appeal to it, but I had a hard time liking it.
When you said to me earlier that you wanted to get into radio, is it for sports radio that you wanted to get into specifically?
Yeah, you know, radio of any facet I think sounds really interesting to me. I've always thought what a cool gig that would be. You know, just kind of sitting down and talking, yakking into a microphone and getting paid for it is a dream job to me. I've always thought that. I've always been interested. And in the last few years, I've realized how, you know, I've always been interested in sports and watching sports and watching live sports. And I thought to myself, well, like, I'm so interested in this and I would also like to do radio. Like, why am I not doing this? Why am I not kind of pursuing this interest I have? And so it's in the last few years where I've sort of kind of refined this desire to do something that I feel I would be strong at.
There are those who say that radio is a dying breed, and I think I mentioned this when I was on your show weeks ago, but it doesn't seem to be dying anytime soon. Do you foresee it hanging on?
I guess I don't really know. I mean, if you ask me to listen to, like, a particular show on NPR, on terrestrial radio, and I have to tune in at that given time, I'm gonna have a hard time making that.
Is it because you listen to podcasts?
Well, I'm not saying that I, like, wouldn't listen to radio because I'm listening to so many podcasts. I guess what I'm trying to get at is that, the advantage of the podcast compared to terrestrial radio is that you listen to it on your schedule when you want, wherever you want. I don't have to be sitting at the radio on their time.
You feel that the arrival of the podcast and the advent of the podcast, popularity of the podcast, will not necessarily lead to the omission of the radio in the future.
Yeah, I don't... I guess hard to say. Like, I still enjoy listening to, like, the Blazers, Brian Wheeler, and he's going to be on radio. That's going to be terrestrial radio in sync with the live game, and same with all sorts of sports. I enjoy listening to some NFL or some college football on the radio, and so, yeah, as far as I can see, that's not going anywhere.
Right. I suppose maybe just the formatting might be just a little bit different. You mentioned Sirius radio earlier, so that's satellite radio, right?
Right.
So I think, you know, as our smartphones keep getting smarter, and I'm not exactly sure right now if there's actually a radio app for the iPhone. Are you aware if there is one yet?
I am not exactly aware. I'd have to guess there's something.
There's got to be something, and maybe as they continue to innovate on for those particular apps, I can see radio, live radio, living on in this day and age of podcasts.
Yeah, I think so.
So that way we could still have, you know, the terrestrial radio, but still in a mobile form. Because you're right. I mean, the only time I listen to NPR is when I'm on those rare occasions that I do drive to and from work. I've got on NPR. I've actually, since I started listening to podcasts, I can't listen to music anymore. I can't listen to music on the radio, in the car radio is what I meant to say. So it's all about talks. It's all about talking people and podcasts and NPR.
It definitely will be interesting to see where this podcast movement takes us. Like we're both saying, it's a bit unforeseen as to how far it will go, how much it will overtake the radio. But for the near future, the foreseeable future, that infrastructure and all that money that's tied into radio, I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon.
I know you said you had 10 pilot episodes prior to what, getting serious with the Portland Cool podcast, or how would you describe that transition?
Yeah, when I first started doing the episodes, I realized to myself, it's kind of a wise move, I must say. I pat myself on the back for it. I realized, like, you're doing these podcasts, you have no idea what you're doing, you have zero experience with this. They're going to come out pretty rough and unpolished. So maybe it would be wise to take some pressure off of yourself and kind of put out there what I called the developmental episode, sort of like a pilot season, to work out the kinks, figure out the theme song I eventually created, work on that, like, sign on and the sign off tagline, and figure out kind of my flow. And all of that was developed over like 10 episodes, and then I kind of felt good about how I was doing it all after the 10th, and I think that was pretty wise.
Right on. So that explains why those first 10 episodes are D1, D2. It's developmental.
Yes.
I was going to ask you what that D meant. Yeah. I had other things coming into my head, but I'm glad you...
If you look at like the total count of episodes, or the episodes that don't have the D, the developmental ones, it's, I believe, up to like 37 now, or approaching 40, but it's like a grand total of 47, almost 50.
And what do you think are some of your key learnings from the developmental episodes to the, I guess, live episodes, for lack of a better term?
I figured out the importance of being able to sort of go with the flow of an interview. My process is to write down some questions so I can tell like a linear story. I think that's interesting when doing an interview, is kind of keep us on track of a story from beginning to end when it comes to the person. But I've learned that these questions I've written down might not really go with the story, so you have to be able to adjust and roll with the punches when it comes to a new story that I didn't anticipate unfolding right on the microphone.
Looking for a podcast about Portland, Oregon? Check out the Portland Cool Podcast, dedicated to giving a voice to the people of Portland doing neat, interesting, fascinating, cool things. The Portland Cool Podcast, it's more than weird, on iTunes and Stitcher.com.
That's your music? That's you playing?
No, that is my two best buddies, John West and Adam Cartmill. Give a plug to those guys.
Yeah, definitely.
We, actually back in high school, we were in a band together. We've always been into playing music, and my buddy John, his dad has created a really cool like recording studio right in his house. It's like as professional as could be. And he's recorded quite a bit of stuff there. And I asked them, hey, can we come to your studio and record this? And I actually wasn't really expecting my buddies John and Adam to help as much as they did, but they were so on board. They kind of just grabbed right on and spearheaded the entire thing. I gave them like a little bit of direction as to what I was thinking. I was saying I would like the energy level of the song to be kind of rising throughout it and then kind of come to a crescendo and then taper off. That was kind of the only direction I gave them, and they ran with it and created the entire thing on their own. I said short and sweet, something that won't ever get like obnoxious when you listen to it over and over again for theme song music, and then that rising energy. That was all I said, and then they knocked it out of the park. Adam and John in Mark West Studio.
So now that you've been into podcasting, the world of podcasting, for at least a year, or going into a year,
yep,
and learned quite a few things along the way, do you foresee yourself maybe venturing into other podcasts in the future, maybe having additional podcast projects?
I'm glad you asked. We just launched and syndicated my other podcast that I'm really passionate about. It is called the Portland Sustainability Podcast. It features myself. I'm actually... if you don't know, a certified master recycler. You can take the course through Portland Metro, a 10-week course, I think it was 10 weeks, on basically best practices for reducing waste, living more sustainably. It's really an incredible movement here in Portland, and I highly recommend it to anyone. It's something I'm really passionate about, and I thought this is a great opportunity to sort of extend the mission of the Master Recyclers to provide more information about living sustainably and reducing our waste. And I was able to I had this idea in my mind for a long time after doing the Portland Cool. I forever wanted to keep the podcasting going. So the first thing I did was sort of scoured LinkedIn to find someone with a background in sustainability. And I came across a gentleman named Tony Hare. And we are now podcasting partners. We have gotten the Portland Sustainability Podcast up and off the ground. It is now syndicated on iTunes and Stitcher.com. You can find it there. We've just got a few episodes under our belt. We're still in that developmental stage. I'm taking that same approach with ironing out the kinks, and it's there now. I'm really excited about there. We just had a fantastic interview there the other night when we interviewed Nick Isbister, who is a really talented and bright up-and-coming professional in the world of sustainability here in Portland. And so, yeah, that's kind of going along the way. And then my next big step that I want to do is the improv podcast for the theater that I do improv at, the Brody Theater.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing it about as long as I've been podcasting, actually. I think it's a fantastic sort of attribute or ability when it comes to interviewing people to be able to be quick on your feet. Like I said, go with the flow and do your listening as well. Something I struggled with in our interview. Anyway, I'm really passionate about that as well. Improv has been a real fun thing for me, and I'm I'll be starting my next class here this Sunday, and then I'll be doing five performances at the Brody Theater coming up. I've already got a few performances under my belt, and it's really exciting to keep that going. So, you know, all of that together, the improv and the podcasting, I hope will, kind of take me one day into some opportunities in radio.
Gee, Sean, it doesn't seem like you have a lot of free time on your hands. As you said earlier, you do like to keep yourself busy, but what do you do to relax?
You know, I love to watch the Blazers. I love to watch the Ducks, and I do a lot of I play a lot of basketball myself. I like to stay in shape. I like to stay active. I think I got a lot of energy to use, so I want to use it up.
So, Sean, thank you so much for being on the PDX Beat podcast. It's always a pleasure to have a fellow podcaster on the show.
Hey, thanks actually, for having me.
Yeah, and actually, first of all, actually, you are the first podcaster I've had on the show, and hopefully not the last. And definitely wish you continued success with both podcasts that you're doing.
Thank you.
And hope this is not going to be the last time you're on the show.
I hope so, too. It's an honor and a privilege to be on here. And, I'm excited to watch your own podcast grow and learn about podcasting from you, because you clearly know a lot about it.
We try, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Portland Cool Podcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and new episodes air every Sunday. They're on the web at www.theportlandcool.com and on Twitter at @ThePortlandCool. Check out Sean's other podcast, the Portland Sustainability Podcast, also available on iTunes and Stitcher. I'll have all the links posted under the show notes on the website. And that's it for now, folks. Theme and additional music courtesy of Portland musician Sweet Nothing. If you hadn't already done so, please subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, or wherever you download quality podcasts. We'll be back in 2 weeks, wherein we will dive into Portland's vegan culture. This has been a presentation of the PDX Beat. I'm Amado Lumba. Thanks for tuning in.